The subject of this lecture is the lessons of history, the connection between modern American imperialism and the imperialism of ancient Athens. Now let's look back to ancient Athens. Greece was subject to a series of invasions by the most powerful state in the world at that time, a truly global empire, Persia, which extended from India all the way to Egypt. And indeed, when the Persian armies invaded Greece, they had with them troops from India. That's how large the empire was. Now, Athens and Sparta, working together, successfully defeated the Persian invasions, a truly amazing feat of military genius and dedication and power. In the case of Athens, the Athenians set up something called the Delian League, which was, I guess you could say, sort of the equivalent of NATO and the common market for a lot of the Greek states. This was originally designed as a military alliance to discourage future Persian invasions. It was a very good and very legitimate idea when it was started. However, particularly under the rule of the megalomaniac Pericles, it started to change to become an instrument of Athenian imperialism, where even the treasury of the league was moved from Delos to Athens, and where states and or people that decided they didn't want to be in the league were subject to ferocious attacks and atrocities organized by the Athenian state. The expansion and the ruthlessness and the megalomania of Athenian imperialism created a reaction throughout Greece. Imperialism always creates a reaction. And the rest of Greece, or a good part of the rest of Greece, mobilized around Sparta to protect their independence. It is our view that Pericles provoked the so-called Peloponnesian War, the greatest war in the history of Greece, a war which would destroy the whole world of classical Greece. Some people might disagree. We're not going to argue that point here. Regardless, the war began. Now, Pericles did pursue what was a militarily clever strategy. A lot of people don't understand in the ancient world that the country organizing a siege could have almost as much trouble as the city being besieged. In the ancient world, armies didn't have their own little cans of K rations and so on and so forth. So maintaining an army around somebody else's city in somebody else's territory and keeping it fed and keeping the soldiers from catching the plague in close quarters was a very difficult task. So Pericles' idea made a lot of sense. It bled the Spartans. And it drained the Spartan treasury and resources and so on. However, it had very serious costs. It involved the Athenian people moving in behind the walls The great walls of Athens extended all the way down to the port of Piraeus. So Athens, with its huge navy and huge maritime power, could be supplied overseas by imports of food. It all seemed like a plan that would work, like many disasters in history. It all seemed like it would work. But Pericles didn't consider the force of nature. And what happened was a plague, a absolutely disastrous plague. You see, the Athenians focused on an imperial vision and ignored the protection against disease, ignored the protection against health, which could have come from a more cooperative relationship with the other states of Greece. The plague turned out to be the first great catastrophe in the history of Athens, the second one being obviously their defeat in the war. But the plague was an absolute disaster of catastrophic dimensions. And they say what goes around comes around, and it ended up killing the mastermind of imperialism himself, Pericles. It also killed a stunning 25% of the population. Athens was never the same, and even though they sued for a temporary peace, the first bringing the first phase of the war over, the plague very much destabilized the religious and political situation in Athens, leading to the emergence of demagogues and ultra-imperialist lunatics such as Cleon and Alcibiades. Cleon reactivated the war, and ended up getting killed in the war. That didn't work out so good, did it? But that didn't stop imperial delusions in Athens. What followed was one of the craziest events in Greek history, where the Athenians came up with this wild scheme of seizing control of Syracuse, which was a very wealthy state and would lead to their seizing control of Sicily. A lot of people don't understand this, a lot of wealth around the Mediterranean. So this was not some obscure place, this is a very wealthy place. And then they launched this wild scheme to conquer it. You would think that having barely survived being wiped out by the Spartans, they might want to have a more intelligent approach. It gets crazier from there. They put in charge a crazy person called Alcibiades. And we're not going to go into all the ins and outs and details, but Alcibiades had a lot of political enemies. And after putting him in charge of this very dubious invasion, they then His political enemies, there was a huge amount of political infighting in Athens, then succeeded in forcing him out when the Athenian armies arrived in Sicily, and Athenians then defected to the Spartans. Alcibiades would later work with the Persians, but in spite of all that, the Athenians would later have put him back in charge. What this shows is the extent to which things were really getting totally out of control in terms of Athenian politics. And ultimately, the Athenians would become so hysterical and things would get so crazy, they would order the execution of the most famous and the greatest philosopher in Greece, Socrates. So this led to a disaster in Athens, and ultimately, Athens, without going into all the details of the war, lost the war and was permanently knocked out as a world power. Now, in America today, you've had, and in recent history, you've had these megalomaniac delusions about imperialism. And America has spent trillions on its dream of a world empire, that America, particularly after the Cold War, a lot of intellectual lunatics declared history was now, quote, over, and America would now create a heaven on earth. But in order to create that heaven on earth, America, like Athens, needed an imperial global military power that would crush anybody who got in its way or would invade other countries like Iraq and build utopias there and so on and so forth. In many ways, American imperialism is even more deranged than Athenian imperialism. Yes, this is true. This diversion into imperialism was combined by plutocratic elites in America using the treasury to give themselves consumption-oriented tax cuts. If that wasn't bad enough, these same plutocratic elites, to make more money, transferred a good part of the industrial assets. It's hard to believe this actually happened and was considered a serious policy, to a totalitarian slave state called China. And they did this because they can make a lot more money in China by firing their American workers and hiring low-wage laborers in China and other places. So these were the priorities of America in the New World Order that it claimed to be creating. These were crazy priorities because America was the only modern state that did not have national health insurance or national sick leave. All the experts in the world for years, certainly really basically in the whole modern period, but certainly since the end of the Cold War, warned the American leadership that America was a sitting duck for an epidemic or a biological warfare attack because of its lack of national health insurance and because of its lack of national sick leave. National health insurance is not charity any more than having a fire department is not charity. Cities don't set up fire departments because of charity. You don't want fire roaring through the community. Honest, you don't. Not a good idea. Likewise, you don't want disease roaring through your community. But in an act of total insanity, America remained the only modern state that did not have national health insurance. Instead, there was the delusion that building this global empire by military force would, by means that were not specified, create some utopia. Trillions were spent invading Iraq, killing over 1 million Iraqi civilians on the grounds that George Bush and Hillary Clinton were going to build a utopia there, and that would inspire the world. Well, obviously, it turned into a total disaster. Barack Obama came in and decided to launch a surge in Afghanistan, of all places, that was going to produce a sparkling victory and turn Afghanistan into a model democracy. Well, that, of course, ended in a disaster, too. And Obama succeeded in increasing the cost of the Afghan war to a level of the Iraqi war. And at one point, it even put more U.S. troops and contractors in Afghanistan than the Russians did when they were there, while controlling less of the country against a far weaker opponent than the one the Russians opposed. But these kind of lunatic delusions just went on and on and on. Obama attacked Libya, overthrew the government there. That ended in disaster. The same with Syria. They were going to overthrow the government there. That ended in disaster, and so on. So The U.S. government was very preoccupied with imperialism. Now, in 2020, what had been predicted occurred. A plague hit America. Because America had had the wrong concepts of national security, the country was completely unprepared. Years and years of budget cuts, years and years of neglect, left the country completely unprepared. And it was unprepared in terms of leadership as well as money. For political reasons, a person was put in charge of the CDC, whose main claim to fame was his hostility to gays and various religious delusions that met with a Republican Party, religious delusions, and so on and so forth. Almost every aspect of the response to the plague was botched up. Completely. And we're not going to get into a detailed debate of all the stuff that happened. Obviously, the failure to develop testing was a tremendous disaster. This is one of those situations where the short list is what went right, because just about everything else went wrong. And it's not at all clear to us, some people would disagree, that all these shutdowns were necessary, though they might have been necessary because America did not have national health insurance. Sweden managed to get through this without shutdowns, but they had national health insurance and they had invested in a good quality healthcare system. Today, America is in a state of total catastrophe. The economy has collapsed. The epidemic is running amok, and more health damage has been done by the collapse of the economy. No really rosy vision is in sight, though Wall Street is still celebrating pushing up stock prices, which is another macabre reality. The lessons of Athens have not been learned. That runaway imperialism leads to disaster. And the outcome for America is not good. The American economy, liberals seem to think that it's 1933 with FDR and we can just recreate that. 1933, America was the world's largest creditor. It was the world's largest industrial state. The American economy was very strong in 1933. Today, the American economy is a hollowed out debt junkie. It really is. It has minus $10 trillion of foreign assets. Foreign governments own huge amounts of American debt, and it survives via endless debt. Now, as in France in 1789, this is not a viable situation, and the clock is ticking, and the clock is striking 12 for America. This is a zero hour. Zero hour is here. It's not coming. It's here and it's unfolding. We will go over positive ideas of what needs to be done. Certainly, national health insurance needs to be put in immediately, not in the mystical future, now, whatever the cost. People say it's going to cost a lot of money. That may be. Whatever the cost, it needs to be put in now. But the Democrats have chosen not to do that. Now, they better wake up and do that. Beyond that, there's the long-term question of the Green New Deal, very needed, and so on. But overall, America faces a huge moment of truth and years of very, very difficult times. You reap what you sow, and America's sown the wind, and the wind is coming. The wind is here. So we all need to come together and work together and try to get through this. Power comes from working together. Whether we can do that is not clear, because Trump, by his very deranged policies, has encouraged tremendous levels of division in American society. Hopefully Biden, if he comes in, can pull the country together. But these are some goals of what we need to do. Overall, though, we need to learn from history. The kind of imperialism that destroyed Athens is destroying America. It's not too late to turn back, but we need to learn that fact and go in a different direction. That's the end of this lecture.